Pinchas, in the middle of Milchemes Geg u'Magog. Okay, right smack in the middle. Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Okay, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Yud. In the middle of the Sugya Milchemes Geg u'Magog, Koyam Hashem Elokim, V'hoya B'yam Ahu, you'll be on that day. Yalu Dvarim al Livavecha. Goig, Hashem here is addressing Goig, Goig and his nation, Magoig. A thought will come upon your mind, V'chashavta machashev esra'ah. Okay, so a thought will come upon your heart, sorry, a thought will come upon your on your heart, and you will think, machashev esra'ah, an evil thought. Now notice in this pasuk, there are two different thoughts. There is the heart and the mind. The leiv and the machshava. What comes first? We put on tefillin, we put on the tefillin shal yad first, then we put on the tefillin shal reish. So here as well, zelu mazeh, the devarim al levavecha, there will be some type of desire, and that desire will lead to v'chashavta, will lead to machashev esra, will lead to a machshava, to plan an evil plan. By us, just the opposite. We put the tefillin on the yad to control. It's all to control when the heart conjures up machasheves, a desire, a yetzahara. The mind's role is to stop it in its tracks. It's to halt. It's to be as guard, as a safeguard for the machshava, the desires of the heart. Goig u'Magog is just the opposite. They have a taiva. And for some reason they can't achieve their taiva. It's just not feasible. So they have to come up with a brilliant solution. They have to go use their mind to find a brilliant solution how they can bring forth their taiva. They use the mind as a way to further their desire for the Yetzirah. Pasuk Yud Alef Yamarta, and you will say, what are you saying? What are you saying in your heart and in your mind? Elel Eretz Pirazois. I will ascend to the land that is possessed of unwalled cities. Avoy hashaykatim. I will come into the city where they are living in tranquility. Yeshrei levetach, among those people that live in security. Kulam yeshrei be'ein chayma. Everyone in the city lives without a wall. Uveriach. There are three different forms of defense. These are obviously symbolic. A wall. Uveriach is a bar. Udilosayim and a door. Ein lohem. Now you would think that it should go just the opposite. The order is a very strange order. First you have a door, then on the door you have a briach, and then you have the chayma on the outside. Okay, it's not really clear why it's in this order, but basically the idea over here is the many people see them. The Malm has a little kedarko. He has a nice discussion about the different ideas being expressed in this pasuk. But the basic idea over here is that Goig u'Magog is going to say to themselves that they're going to attack Yerushalayim. The subject of this pasuk is obviously Yerushalayim in the times of Yemos HaMashiach. And what's interesting over here is that it's been described. It's a little bit strange. It's being described over here that Yerushalayim does not have a wall. I mean, how can you say that? How could that be? You know, there has to be a wall because we need a wall for kachem. In order to eat kachem kalim in Yerushalayim, you must have a chayma. And from the context, the simple interpretation of this pasuk we're discussing here in Yerushalayim, we're not discussing Eretz Yisrael. Maybe you want to say it's more elaborate, the whole Eretz Yisrael, but the pasuk is discussing here Yerushalayim, and it says over here there's no wall, and they're living in prazois and open cities, and they're living in a state of security and tranquility. And therefore, Goig u'Magog, Goig, the king of Magog, he says that these people, it's easy prey. It's going to be a piece of cake to ascend and to conquer and to destroy. Pasuk Yud Beis, what is he going to do? Lishlol shalol, he's going to capture the booty. V'lavoz baz, okay, two different expressions, which basically mean he's going to steal, he's going to plunder the city and take for himself all of their wealth and their resources. Lahashiv yatcha al choravos, to return his hand. Lahashiv, to return his hand al choravos noishavos. Now that means the cities that in the past, for the past 2,000 years, the cities have been destroyed, and now they have been noishavos, resettled. Who is the one that destroyed the cities originally? The Umayyad Olam. He now wants to go back and bring it back to that state. He wants to bring the situation in Eretz Yisrael back to the way it was for the last 2,000 years and bring it back into a state of being choravos. So it's lehashiv. He's going to attempt to return the cities of Eretz Yisrael, which are now established and built and developed and populated. He's going to want to restore it back to the state of when they were choravos, which in the immediate moment is noisha vos.
The Abarbanel is aware of what you said about the Yerushalayim not having walls.
Yeah.
It obviously has walls.
Yeah.
It says it's like they would be so confident that they could destroy it anytime. It's like there was no wall.
It's symbolical. It's not
symbolical.
A real... Right.
I mean, there's a wall, but it's like, you know, what difference does that make?
It's a pellet to say, like, right. You know, okay, so you want to say the whole area to show you, you're not focusing specifically on Yerushalayim, but that's not the pantash, the central...
It's so easy for them to
conquer
it that they wouldn't even think that.
Well, we know that
there's nothing there.
Like, we know that today. Today with drones and missiles.
Right.
So what's a wall today? A wall is nothing today. It's a joke. So in Hanami. Okay,
they won't build them.
What?
Then why are so many countries building them?
Because they're good against the wind. And the
you know, it's interesting. You're asking a really interesting question. What's going to be in a number of years from now? Will it be necessary to build the walls? Right. So right now, we're still living in a time where walls still are effective to some degree. But like also you have to realize that certainly in some point in time you're not going to even need a real wall. There'll be some type of electronic barrier.
Right.
We can do accomplish
like
the same exact thing.
For pets, they have you know like the dogs, they
sound and all these other techniques.
Like the wall in Israel.
Israel.
It's a combination.
Right?
Combination
of a wall. And
well, you're dealing with people on.
Right.
You're dealing with people on the other side that are still primitive. So a wall for them actually can hold them back. All right. Let's whatever. Who knows what the future is going to be, the technology of the future. We have no idea what technology yet is ahead of us. Who would ever imagine when we were children that there would be something called a smartphone, even a cell phone? Okay, remember Get Smart? Okay, who would ever imagine the technology we have available today? No one saw it coming. So who knows what's going to be in 10, 15 years from now? The technology, you know, it'll be a whole new world. The nation that has been gathered from the nations refers to Klal Yisrael, and here the pasuk here is a very fascinating pasuk. It's going to describe. This is the description of what Klal Yisrael is going to be like in the times of Mashiach, describing their wealth. They're going to be oisei mikne v'kinyan. They're going to make mikne cattle and acquisitions. Yoshvei who live al tabur haaretz, who they live in the tabur, the navel of the land, the center of the world. So you know, if you wouldn't know anything new about the generation, you would say Oisei Mikne means is that they assemble, they're involved in livestock. But Oisei is a very powerful word. It sounds like you actually create. We know with cloning today, and all this technology, it's mamish Oisei. You know, you can go into a laboratory, you can go take some stem cells, and who knows what you can do today. It's mamish. They're leading the front of Oisei. They're creating Mikne. They're creating mikneh. They had a very big topic of meat, shchita. If they go and you create, it's a big topic in all these new journals. That it's on the horizon. If you go and you create an animal, does it require shchita?
Well, is it kosher, first of all?
Is it kosher? Okay, you go and create.
I'm not so sure. They figured out all the clones are made with the base stems are coming from the trade animal.
So what? So but even if it's a treifa, first of all, so the eda hachareitis, they'll make it from kosher animals. They'll make it from kosher animals, and even if it comes from non-kosher animals, it degenerates. It becomes nothing. So it's a new bria. You don't necessarily can relate it back to its original source. These are all very big shilas. These are all big shilas that are discussed in the Pesachim and all these new germ tchumin. And tchumin was a very new article about a year ago about this. I think also in headlines. Headlines. There was also an article about, I think maybe we even discussed this, genetically engineered meat. Is it kosher? Does it require shechita? It's just shocking. It leaps off the page when it says over here the words, oisei mikneh. Oisei mikneh. It doesn't say the word that you're koine mikneh or you're megadol mikneh. There are better words that when we were writing this pasuk, we would select words that are more appropriate, we would think. But here it says the Mos HaMashiach. We have no idea what the world is going to be like, and it says Oisei Mikneh V'Kinyan. You create a kinyan. You create a kinyan. What does that mean exactly? whatever this means, they sit Yeshrei al Tabur Haaretz, the navel of the world. What's the navel of the world? What is that all about? What is that? The significance of that? I have no idea. Obviously, it's a very big mystery which have yet to be revealed. Let's now see.
Yeah. It's referred to as
the Tabor,
from which
the world was created.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's machlekes. So there's a four-way machlekes in the Gemara. From where did the world was created? One opinion says from the center. From the four sides,
epicenter.
It's machlekes. Some say it was not. Some say the world started from the end and came in towards the center. There are different opinions. I don't know the answer. It's very interesting. what this means exactly? Let's see these two psukim inside now. First, in the Mitzudos pasuk Yud, in the Mitzudos David, the pasuk says, "Ba'yoy mahu ba'isha yashuvu yisrael al almasam." When they return, when the Mashiach comes, Yalu Dvarim Mitzud Lemar Tehari Herum. So here, the goig will have the following thoughts. A thought will come into his mind to ascend, to attack Yerushalayim, and he will be of the impression that it's very, very easy. There's nothing much has to be done. Al Eretz Perazos, Al Yayoshim, Be'arei HaPerazi, on the unwalled cities. Avoy HaShaytim, I will ascend upon those that are living in a state of tranquility. They don't even suspect that they are under attack. It'll be very easy. Avoy HaShaytim, Be'menucha, the people there do not protect themselves. They do not enter into a fortified city to guard themselves from the enemy. They, by the way, your machine over here is not working over here. I think our battery went dead. I don't know. Their heart is batuach. It is a confident. It's confident from the enemy. Therefore, they live without a wall around them. They have no different terms of defense. Okay, these are different. Obviously, these are different. The metaphors for defense: a briach and a delas. I'll be able to conquer them very, very easily. I always like one of my favorite topics in Parashas Lech Lecha. Is it Lech Lecha? I don't even remember what Parashat is. Is with Lot. I'm not going into it now. Lot. The pasuk says that. Va'adeles sogar achara va'era va'era. It's an incredible va'era. It's an incredible. The pasuk emphasized that Lot, he locked the door. Lot went out of his way to lock the door. The Torah didn't need to tell us that. That could have just been. It's not a point that's required. It's a very big milah that he defended. He went. He stood up to the defense of the people, the malachim, who were made believe they were human beings, and he did something to protect them. So here we have the same term, the delas, is used here for protection. Pasuk Yedbeis, lishlol shalol, tachshav lishlol shalolim, l'hoshav yotcho lov yoshenis l'muchama, and now the goy plans to steal all of their assets, and to l'hoshav yotcho. Now here's an important idea, which all the far should pick upon. What is l'hoshav? L'hashiv has a connotation that it's not the first time. It's the second time. So exactly what the Mitzvah says, L'avay sheinis l'milchama al hecharavos, on the cities that have been desolate for 2,000 years, or really less, whatever it is, sheinis yashu mikorban, that has been settled only recently, Ulefi shekivar bo pam bi Ezra. So since it happened in the past that Gog and all of his associates, they went and they assisted in the conquest of Yerushalayim. Kimosh amar lemalo lechein amar. That's why in this pasuk it says that's not the first time; it's the second time. It's lechashiv, to return your hand, to do it again. So we learned in the beginning of the Malam. The Malam had a tradition that says that they're, if you study the Pesukim very, very well, you'll notice there are going to be three different wars. Milchemes Gog u'Magog is not one war, it's three wars. That's what the Malam said in the very, very beginning of this section. And that's a very big mystery, what it means. And he says, because it says, you study the Pesukim here, it's twice. And then in Zechariah, there's another Milchemes Gog u'Magog. And the Malam says, they're not the same. They're not the same. They're three different battles. Zechariah was discussing one battle, and Yechezkel discussing another battles. It's interesting, I just peeked ahead a little bit further on later on, and one of the Mepharshim mentioned that Yeshaya also spoke about Milchemes Gog u'Magog. I don't know Yeshaya, I don't remember, but none of the Mepharshim in the beginning of the parak mentioned Yeshaya. obviously it's hidden there somewhere in Yeshaya, but if you want to go say, there's another dimension to Melchemes Goig U'Magog that, according to at least some of the Mepharshim, appears in Sefer Yeshaya. It doesn't say the word Goig. It doesn't say the word Goig U'Magog anywhere in Sefer Yeshaya. And it doesn't say the word Goig U'Magog anywhere in Zechariah either. But everyone seems to say Zechariah also mentioned Goig U'Magog. And for that matter, you can probably find it hidden away somewhere in Yeshaya. And I'm sure you look hard enough, you can probably find a reference in Daniel. Everything is in Daniel. Everything is somewhere there. You can probably find it there. And for that matter, there's another dimension of what we're going to see later on in much more detail. All the Farshim is Eldad U'Medad. Eldad U'Medad were from the Zakenim who were meant to be from the Sanhedrin. And Yeshua said to Moshe, there are two Anoshim that are Misnabim B'machaneh. And the Gemara has a discussion at the beginning of Sanhedrin. What are they being Misnabim? There are three opinions. And one of the opinions is Milchemes Goy Gumagad. If therefore you have a collection of all the Mepharshim that I've collected over here, of twice in Yechezkel, once in Zechariah, somewhere in Yeshaya, I'm suggesting, because I feel very confident, we learned Daniel, and we learned to some of the Mepharshim there, like everything, the whole world history is there for sure somewhere. You have Daniel, and now you have also Chazal say explicitly Eldad U'Medad, and also they also say this: if two Nevi'im, Eldad U'Medad, we have a tradition that ain shnei Nevi'im misnabim b'signon echad. So if it's Eldad U'Medad, each one had a different perspective of what exactly is going to happen. So it's really amazing. You have so many different dimensions or so many different perspectives on what is going to happen during the time of Melchemes Goig U'Magog. If it would just be one pasuk, okay, one pasuk, Hayasfu v'yagidu lechem eis asher yikrev yachas hayamim, okay, so it's very simplistic, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. But if everyone is coming to say a prophecy about what's going to happen, and Chazal emphasized all the different names, all the players, in this big game, so to speak, so obviously, it's a very complicated tekufa in history. And that's why the Rambam and the Ravid and all the people who get involved in trying to look into the future, what's going to happen, they say, don't even try. Don't even try. It's so complex. You'll never.
We don't know.
But at least we get an appreciation of the complexity. Okay, let's go further. But here we have this is the important point of Lohashiv Yado, which means it's going to be a second time. It's not going to be the first time. That's why it says Lohashiv, the Mitzvah is Lohashiv Yadcha. Okay, now let's go now into the next Mitzvahs. Pasik, one Pasik, Pasik Yudbeis. Right, did we do that yet? Pasik Yudbeis in the Mitzvah. We did that? Okay, yeah, it was a few more words. A few more words of Dibra Maschil Me'usaf Migoyim. Klali Yisrael, at this point in time, has been gathered in from the Goyim. Healings, Oysa means to collect, to gather. Mikne Ubakar Vetzai Nishar Dvarim Haknikim Al Tabur Haaretz Al Mitsua Haaretz, the center. The Gova, the height, Ulafisha Tabur, Hu Emsa Guf, the navel is the center of the body. Kare Lemokim Hanitsua. What's the meeting? It means the crossroads, the meeting point of Blashon Tabor. We call the Blashon Tabor. So basically, we're talking about the Hayam. The Klai Yisrael is going to be the metropolis. Is that the right word?
Metropolis.
I forgot my Batman. Metropolis. What?
Superman.
Yeah. Okay. Metropolis of the world. Okay, and we talk and see that happening today. Today we see Eretz Yisrael is a center of high tech. You know, all the startups, the most startups in the world, I think now they say are in Eretz Yisrael,
yeah,
right?
In the part before, it was said Mekneh Kenya is like startup nation. It starts up from nothing.
Grassroots.
Right?
I said Mekneh.
It begins to gather.
You create the need.
It's stock.
I read a line, it made an impression on me. There, Binyamin Kamenetsky, Zech Tzadik Livracha, he was nifter a couple of months ago. So he was one of the sons of Yaakov Kamenetsky. So there's a magazine called Ami Magazine. And his son, Binyamin, he writes a column every week in that magazine. It's interesting, it was called Streets of Life, I think. It's called Streets of Life. He is a very Talmud Chacham. He writes a lot of things. So this is just like, you know, his stories, he writes different things. So when his father was nifter, So this is his son. I'm forgetting his son's name is. What's his son's name? I remember his name. Rabbi Yamin Kamenetsky has a son. He's now the Rosh Yeshiva in. His name is Shmuel Kamenetsky? No. That's his uncle. Oh, whatever it is. So Rabbi Yamin Kamenetsky, he started a yeshiva in Far Rockaway, right? Far Rockaway. He started a yeshiva, and today it's a very big, substantial yeshiva. So his son said that when they were masped by the Hespedim, and they said,
South Shore.
Is it called Yeshiva South Shore? Okay, so he said that when he started the yeshiva, he says, so one of the masped says, when he came into the neighborhood, there was no need for a yeshiva. There was no need. You know, normally, you know, you came to America, you talk about Torah Das, you read all the history of America. There was a need. There were people that didn't have where to go. They were going to public school. They came from Shomer Shabbos families. There was a need to start a yeshiva. So someone came along and started a yeshiva. 99% of the yeshivas that existed in America, in the early days of America, all came about because there was a need and someone came along, and it was very hard because just send the kids to public school, don't have any money, who's going to pay tuition, who's going to hire a bain, who's going to this, who's going to that, who's going to get involved. But there's still no. Everyone acknowledged we got a problem here. If we don't have a yeshiva, the kids are going to go Rahman Litzlan. Who's what's going to be with all these children? Oh, day schools and this and after schools. It's not a solution. When he came to South Shore, there was no need for a yeshiva. There was no need. You need to go to yeshiva. There were no front people living there. Whoever wanted to go to yeshiva, there was no market. They lived in New York. They live in Brooklyn. They live in Bar Williamsburg. They live in Brownsville. There was no need. When he came there to South Shore, what he did, his godless was, he created the need. He created the need. And after he created the need, he then also made the yeshiva. It really resonates with me. It really hit me, that idea. He created the need. You have to be so innovative sometimes that it's not just enough to respond to only, but to create the need. So over here, you're saying good, Ramachal. You reminded me. Oysa mikne v'kinyan. The Eretz Yisrael, they're going to invent the need for different commodities. When you want to go into business, you know, it's very hard to break into an established business. You want to go into the food business, another restaurant. You want to go into, you want to go sell electronics. Boy, you're finished. That's really hard. What do you want to do? You have to create a new need. You have to invent a new commodity, a new need. And then once you invent a new need, here I am, I'm ready to sell it to you. It's a grisa chochma. That's really what it says here. Oysa mikne, they create the mikne, and then the kinyan is, oh, once the people need the need, the mikne, then there's the kinyan, people have to purchase it. You have to purchase it, you have to come to me to buy it. Eretz Yisrael became a place where. And it's taka true today. It's true today. Eretz Yisrael is the place of innovation. It's the place of new ideas. They plant seeds in the mind of people of new ideas. And when people see this, wow, what a great idea, now all of a sudden the need has been created. People now want to purchase. It's a creative way of doing business. Perhaps that's alluded to here in this pasuk with what's going to happen in Yemos HaMashiach. We're living now in Yemos HaMashiach, obviously. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yud, Yalu Dvarim. Now, what is in Yalu Dvarim? So the Rashi says, Pasuk Yud means from Targum, Yiskun Hir Hurin. That's exactly what it said in the Tzudos thoughts. A thought will come upon the mind of Gog, this king, this evil king called Gog, who is the king of Magog. And what will he do? Machashev Esra'a, an evil thought, Li Lochim Kinegdi. So Rashi here is Midrashik. We're going to see the Malam soon. The Machshava will be that he wants to wage a religious war against Hashem. That's not the common understanding of these Pesukim. Okay, that's not, we don't really know what's going on here. It's really too mystical. But Rashi over here is a Navi, and Rashi says that the Machshava Raha will be to wage war against Hashem. That's going to be his primary intent when he comes from the end of the world to Yerushalayim. Pasuk Yud Aleph Al Eretz Pirazos Yoshe Kifarim Me'ein Chayma. The people who live in unwalled cities without a wall. Shaboitchem Bimeuzam. They are confident in their might. Ve'einam Yirayim Lehisaseif El Ori Mivtzor. They're not afraid to live in unwalled cities without a defense. They're not afraid. They're confident that nothing's going to happen to them. Pirazos Kamo Me'ori HaPirazi. Me'ein Chayma, Avoy El Hashaitim, Goik and his nation, they say, we will ascend upon these people who are living in a state of tranquility. Ve'ere Mahu Miftacham. Rashi here is saying something which I don't know, but there's something very deep here. It's very interesting. I want to see what is the source of their strength. Rashi is very, very deep. Very deep. And Isaac is very, very true. I think what Rashi says, the Goyim, they're very, very intrigued at the faith in Jews. What makes us tick? Like, what keeps you going? They seek, every once in a while, they get an insight, they get a view of Klal Yisrael, and they're very impressed. And what is the source of your strength, your miftacham, of your confidence? So let's assume over here, the reason why people are very confident is because they're doing the Ritzoyin Hashem, okay, like today in Eretz Yisrael, okay, people, you know, they're mamish, the moiser nefesh, there are people in Eretz Yisrael who are moiser nefesh to serve Hashem, they learn, they daven, they don't have much of a parnasa, and they're very happy. They're very happy with themselves. I think they say Eretz Yisrael is one of the happiest countries in the world. There's a lot of studies about that. Why are they so happy? Some of the people there, they're so poor you can't even imagine. So, I mean, not everyone is so happy being poor, okay? Unfortunately, we know that. Yeah, we see people... People come here and collect. They don't look so happy here. People who come to collect, they don't look too happy to leave. Okay, but you go to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, I went last year to Eretz Yisrael, and I was in some places from very, very poor neighborhoods. People are happy. I can't say everyone is so depressed being poor. I couldn't survive a day like that. But there are people there, you know, they're very happy in the Avodas Hashem.
Make the most of what they have.
So what is it? They're really real maminim. They're real maminim in Hashem, in Torah, and Avoda, and there's something really, really something to it. So, and every Jew to some degree has this same thing. Everyone is like this. And Goyim, who don't have anything, and they see this, they're intrigued, and that's really what's happening here. Most of Mashiach, these people that are living in unwalled cities, they're not afraid. They have a moon in Hashem. Whatever will be. How could you not be afraid? If you're living in another country, you would be petrified. You would be living in a bunker somewhere. How could you be so confident? Obviously, you have emunah. Goig and Magoig, they don't understand this. They have to come to Eretz Yisrael to see what's the source of this haftacha. It bothers them to no end, and they want to take it away from us. They're jealous, whatever it is. Halacha b'yodeinu, Esav Sonei Yaakov. There's a certain jealousy because really Esav should have had this for himself, and he gave it up. He gave it up to Yaakov Avinu, and it bothers them, and that's why they want to take it away from us. They want to wage war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But anytime you go to war,
yeah,
you always plan, begin your planning by assessing your opponent's
strength and weakness. No, but it seemed, I hear what you're saying, but here it seemed something deeper, because over here it says they're living in unwalled cities, they have nothing, they have no security, no defense, they have nothing. And yet they're very happy, very confident. You're talking about modern war. Every country has all different types of missiles and shields and defense shields and satellites and all these toys, these high tech toys. So you get so we understand. We want to understand your weapons. We don't understand. We don't really care why were you happy. We want to understand what kind of radar and submarines and warships you have, so we can find a loophole. We can overcome you. The pasuk over here, it seems like we have nothing. They have, the people over here have nothing, and yet they're confident. Why? How can you be confident you have nothing? It's something spiritual. And they're coming here, it says Rashi here is saying something very deep. Ve'ere mahu miftacham. What is the source of this confidence? I don't understand the Ribbono Shel Olam. And whoever this Ribbono Shel Olam is, I want to go to war against him. That's what appears. That's what Rashi seems to be saying. At least I'm giving some interpretation. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's what it appears to be.
According to what you've said, that they don't understand,
right?
And they still, nevertheless,
want to wage war.
War against Hashem,
right? Correct. So there's obviously there's a blend. They do understand a little bit. They just don't understand it 100%. They understand enough to rebel. Halacha biyadeinu Esav Seinei Yaakov. What's the pshat? What does that mean? It's mamash a pella. Esav Seinei Yaakov. They say some of the biggest anti-Semites, their best friends were Jews. Okay? Ford, I read this last week. Ford was probably the biggest anti-Semite in America. Ford is the only American that's mentioned in Hitler's Mach Shemoi V'Zichro, Mein Kampf. Is that how you pronounce it? Mein Kampf. He's the only one that gets honorable mention. Okay? Only one. Okay? Hitler, the only one that he mentioned in his book. And now it's a bestseller, you should know. And they reprinted it in Germany. Okay?
Arab countries have always...
Okay? It's a bestseller now.
The copyright.
Okay, so he's the only one. Obviously, goes to show a lot about Ford. Okay? Okay? And Ford, you know who Ford's one of his best friends was? A reform rabbi. I don't remember his name, but it was an F. Friedman, I don't know, a very, very, very well-respected, very popular reform rabbi in the early 20th century. And Ford, every single year, sent him a brand new car. A brand new model, whatever, Model T. Every single year, he sent him a brand new car. That's a big deal. Okay? And Ford, he published a magazine. He was the owner of a newspaper. There was a terrible anti-Semitic newspaper that he published. He funded in America. And they wrote the worst, nastiest things about Jews. And finally, the people had complaints against this guy who was very friendly with Ford. How could you be friendly with him in public?
His name was Rabbi Lee Franklin.
What's his name?
Franklin?
He was a reform rabbi, and people had very big complaints against him. How come you don't speak up against him? So finally, after a number of years, not right away, he had enough courage that when they delivered the new model as a token of friendship between Ford, he refused to accept it. And he sent it back to Ford, and Ford was very insulted. And Ford said, "What do you mean? We're good friends. Why don't you take it? Anti-Semitism? That's not you. That's the Jews. That's the Jews. But I'm also Jewish. You see, I'm not so bad. You see, there's nothing wrong with Jews. What do you have against us? So what does he have against us? What's going on? Obviously, there's something irrational. There's something irrational that's in their mind, which we don't understand. Halacha biyodeinu. Esav soine Yaakov. Watch out. There's something irrational, this hatred that you don't know where it comes from. It's a very dangerous world. So you have to always watch your back. Okay, let's go back to Rashi. Rashi over here says, Pasuk Yibbeis, Lohashiv Yotcha al Charavois, Noishavois, that they want now to return their hand, Lohashiv Yotcha al Charavois, Noishavois. So the enemy Goik and his nation, Magog, they want to come back and extend their hand to destroy, to once again bring back the Charavois that are now Noishavois. They want to restore it back to being Charavois. These have been reestablished. We want to go and bring back to the state of ruin. Next words in Rashi, the El Am Hame Usaf Me Amim, and also to the nation that's been Musaf Me Amim, Ha'isim Ata Mikne Vikinyan, Klal Yisrael, who has been ingathered, is Kibbutz Golias. And Ha'isim Ata Mikne Vikinyan, they are people now who are very wealthy. They are the center of wealth, will be concentrated in Eretz Yisrael. Al Tabur Aretz, Al Goiva, the Tabur Yitayrs, the Goiva V'Chayzik Aretz, it's the strength, the height and the strength of the land, Ketabur Zeh, like the navel of a human being, Shehu Emtzoi Shel Adam, it's the center, U'mishupa Mikol Tzudadav, he writes, Mishupa, everything flows into that area.
Flows in or flows out?
I don't know. U'mishupa, Mishupa Mikol Tzudadav, Tabur Aretz, Emtzoi Shel Olam, Hagod Rabbi Avadia. You have that in your edition? You have those words in your edition?
It says, the height and the strength of the earth, like the navel which is in the center of a person and slopes downward from all its sides.
It slopes downwards from all its sides. Okay. Then I have in brackets, I don't know if you have this, Tabur Haaretz, Emtza'o Shel Oilam,
right.
The middle of the world, Hagah Derebi Ovadi. What is he coming to it?
He says, something of Rabbi, glosses of Rabbi Akiva, He's not sure.
He has Ovadia in my edition, not Akiva. Ovadia. All right, whatever this is.
Note that this is an addendum originating in the Amsterdam edition of the Nevi'im. See Yoshua Shod, Mosad HaRav Kook. However, this addendum coincides with Rashi and Radak.
All right. Okay, let's see what it says over here in the Radak. The Radaks are very short. The Radak is not eating that much into the Psukim. This Pasuk very quickly. Pasuk Yud. Koyamar, Mivorhu, Pasuk Yidal, Vyamata, Alaritz, Perazois, Kama Perazois, Tesh, Yeteshev, Yushlaim. This means open cities. Arya Perazois. Perish, Ari Hasadesh, Ein Lohem Chemes, simply means the city that does not have a wall, does not have defense. Ava Hashaytim, El Hashaytim, I will come to the tranquil. V'chein v'yevah Yerushalayim, k'mo El Yerushalayim, v'chein rabim, l'shlol, l'hoshiv yadcha al charavais, n'oshavais, l'hoshiv yadcha aleihem, l'hachlivam, k'mo shahayiv yunus, and tergim l'chanosha, mashir yosach, to the gathering of your camps. All right, whatever it means, they want to go and destroy all the cities. Next words, mikne is animals. Kinyan refers to other assets. They are successful in different types of assets. All right, whatever that means. Next. Assets, wealth, whatever, good economy. Yoshe al tab haaretz, pam yovoy hasmichus al milas is grammar, so let's skip this. Okay, next words, tab haaretz, lefishi beemsa ha'ilam, kamosha tabu beemsa ha'guf, v'yonesim tirgim al tukfa the arrow, the might, lefishi eretz is shol gavoy mikol haaretzos, it's the height of the world. Okay, now before we go further, let's read the Malbum, just one Malbum. The Malbum is very, very important Malbum, the Pasuk Yud. Okay, we don't normally do Malbum, but this is just a few words, it's very important. How he learns the Pesukos, then it's everything over here is very mystical, what's going to happen. And he says, V'hoya b'yayimahu, Ritzon Elohimar, Pasuk Yod, Techila ba'aloyscho lo seida ba'atzmecha alma ato oile. Strange. Goig is going to exert himself, gather all these armies, make a coalition, and come to Yerushalayim to go to war. It doesn't even know why he's coming. What am I coming here for? What's this all about? Am I coming here to conquer Yishmael? Am I coming here to conquer Yerushalayim? It's very bizarre. Hashem is going to put a machshav in his mind to come. Why? I don't know. We'll figure it out when we get there.
Does not have a mission statement.
You hit the nail on the head. Does not have a mission statement. You have to have every organization today, B'li Yotzei Min HaKlal, must have a mission statement or you don't exist. You don't exist. And they all, every yeshiva, they struggle, they literally pull their hair out of their head to find the right words to describe what is their mission statement. How do they differ than the next yeshiva on the block?
There are people who do that for a living.
Exactly. How does our yeshiva differ than the one across the street? What is our mission statement going to say different? So therefore it says that they do not know why they're coming here. Are we coming here to destroy the land? What do they do to us? Why would we want to harm someone else? What do they do to us? Maybe we want to take over. We don't want to destroy. We just want to take over. We want to be in charge. And add our own dwelling places. What? What? Praxis? What do you mean, doyorin?
I'm saying that the way Edom is portrayed is they are portrayed the way the Romans were portrayed as just destroyers that
barbarians. Nebuchadnezzar.
It's just to destroy.
To destroy for the sake of destruction.
The political power of conquest.
Right. Right. Exactly. Right. That was the Nebuchadnezzar. That was the custom. The custom were barbarians.
They wanted to conquer.
They did.
They wanted to. Brought people back.
I don't know.
That was more of a political power.
You're saying there are different kufos.
The way I've read the midrash that discussed this, that they distinguish, and that the particular. This specific profile of Edom is destruction.
Pure Chorban.
Yeah.
But here it's saying they don't know what they want to do.
And me, the FCO is a phrase used for me. It's all about me.
Okay. But here it says that Melchemes Goygum Malbum is a very unique approach of the Malbum. They really don't know what they're doing. Okay? They don't know. It's like some politicians. They have no clue what they're doing. How they got here? I don't know. And now what's their plan, their agenda?
Their plan is to get reelected.
To get reelected, right? So for what? What is your goal? What's your agenda? A lot of politicians are like this. So they don't know what they're doing over here. In Litvois, are we here to destroy? Are we here? Litvois b'malchus l'hoshuba d'yorin b'yoymahu sorak b'yoymahu on that day shiiti yasham oz yalu dvar malibcha ma shaloi choshavta mikoydem v'choshavta machashev esra. So here that's what the Malam Shah in the Pasuk is. When they come, they're not going to know why in the world they came. And then when they are here, all of a sudden it will come into their mind a plan to rebel against Hashem, to wage a war against Hashem. But it was not their original thought. It was not their original plan. And that's how he learns this very unique pasuk, Hashem v'hoya bayemahu. It'll be on that day. What that day? On that day after they already have arrived. We came here for some reason, just for fun, for sightseeing. Oh, once we're here already, let's now wage war against Hashem. Yalu dvodim alevavcha v'chashavta machashev esra'a. Okay, so this is unique. This is the only one who says this idea is the Malbim. Other Mefarshim don't seem to go like that. They seem to say that everything is premeditated. From day one, the moment they come out of their little corner in the world, their cave in the world, they know what they're doing. They have a plan. They have a plan. It's premeditated. Here, it's just... According to Malbim, he's learning this pshat in the pasuk. Okay, let's go next back pasuk Yud Gimel.
It's told us that Hashem is putting ideas.
Oh, exactly.
So,
Hashem is
yeah. That's not exactly a plan.
Right. That's a very interesting thing. Abchira, how do you deal with that? That's a very difficult concept in emunah, hashkafa.
It's nothing they're against doing, but
Hashem is manipulating
right
their
now,
minds.
Right now.
So that's a very difficult concept because we know that man has bechira chofshes paro by chabed Hashem a slave paro. That's the age old question: how can Hashem go hard in his heart when man has free will? That's part of the yisoidus. That's part of the basic yisoidus of the emuna in the world for goyim as well.
But in this case,
yeah,
already Hashem has already made known to the nothing that it's time to pay up.
Okay, so like Paro also. You don't deserve...
No, it didn't say that. Well, it didn't say that there was some pre-existing sin which Paro had committed. That's just getting started. But here, it's talking about the Edom of millennia previously destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. And now it's time already for them to get their payback.
The time has come.
So,
the apocalypse is upon us. Okay. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Now Pasuk Gimel says, who are the nations? Who are the nations? Who is living? Here it's describing who is living. Who are the partners of Eretz Yisrael? Who's living? Sheva, Udedan, V'Sechrei Tarshish, V'Chol Kifirecha, Yomu Lecha, they will say to you, Goig, they'll say to you, Harlishlal Shololatava. What are you doing? All of these nations, in Shva, Don, the Don, Sechel, there are three, V'chol Kifiriach, they will say to you, Goyg, the native king of Molag, what are you doing here? What are you coming here to make trouble? Who asked you? Halishlal shalol atava, halavoyz bas hikalto kiolecha, to go and to steal, to plunder and to steal all the booty. Have you assembled all of your groups? Laseis kesef, to carry away the kesef v'zahav. Lakachas, to take with you, mikne v'kinyon, lishlal Shalol Godol. There's a lot of repetition in this pasuk. I don't know what it's all about, but obviously they're coming over here to get angry. They're very upset. You're coming to destabilize the world economy. Mm. What are you coming here to make trouble and ruin the economy of Eretz Yisrael by ruining their economy? You're going to take down the whole world with them. So mind your own business and go back into your cave. That's what all the nations are going to say to Goyeg Umog. Pasuk Gimel Mitzudos David. Pasuk says here, V'chol Kifirecha, return to Loimar, Soreho Ugidoleho, all of the leaders of all of these nations, they're going to challenge Goyeg. Halishlal Shalol Behei Hasheela. In Boata Lishlal Shalol Ilu Yom Hine Muchonim Anachnu Liknois Hashalom Yotcha. Oh, so he learns Dim Shat. He learns, I'm not really sure what he's learning. I don't really know. Everything over here to me is a mystery. They're saying we're prepared to buy it from you.
Well, the Abarbanel says they're coming to take it.
Yeah.
Initially, the thought process was like mission statement was to rescue Eretz Yisrael from the Notzrim. what happened was when they got there,
from the Ishmaelim, from the Ishmaelim,
the Ishmaelim were coming to redeem the land, so to speak, take it back from the Notzrim who were David first. Now, when they got there, there were businessmen amongst the Ishmaelim that came to buy it from the government, so to speak, the Ishmaelim who took over the land. And instead of having stuff to sell, they sort of destroyed it all anyhow. And they, you know, businessmen come in to mop up and take over. You know, they want to spur you and then they get stuff cheap. But in the meantime, there was nothing left because they destroyed it all. That's what the word sofar is all about.
Okay, but it seems according to the Mitzudos, the part he's learning about, not the way I explained it. He seems to saying is that they're encouraging them. Yeah, go ahead. Goig, proceed. We're behind you. Because when you will succeed and destroy and conquer, then we'll do business with you.
Right.
We would rather do business with you than do business with the Jews.
Right.
That's what it seems to be saying. Why?
The same guys we're
cheaper.
Talking about here, we're involved with Tsar when we talk about the downfall of Tsar. So it's okay. So now
it's still very mysterious.
Yeah.
This pasuk is still a little bit mysterious. What exactly are they saying? What exactly are these nations saying to do? I thought Prasha means they're saying don't mind your own business. Don't make trouble. Let the world just continue to exist the way it is. So the things we're saying is no, we're encouraging you. Go right ahead. Conquer. And we're ready to be your new business partners. It'll be cheaper for us to business with you than to business with the Jews. So less taxes dealing with you than with the Jews. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel, writes, V'chol kifirecha soicharim v'charifin sheba, all of the sharp merchants that accompany the nation of Tarshish, lotzeis v'loshut, to go out and to loshut, to roam, kikfirim, like kikfirim, like lions.
Young lions.
Lung lions. So the kifirecha, he learns, I thought kifirecha means young lions. Kikifirim. B'chol ha-medinois, v'yoidim eze mokam ha-isher. So the lions, they know where the good stuff is. They know where the good food is, where the wealth is. So therefore, these merchants, they exactly know what's going on. Now, what is Rashi? Yomer l'lucha ha-lishol shalol ha-tabah, k'loimar, mi higid l'cha es mekoy ma'oysher hayodata ki li eretz meleya sholal uvaz ato hoylech. Do you really know what you're doing? V'sham bi'emes timsa hoin osik. So it's a new interpretation. He's saying over here is that, how did you know the secret? How did you little nation, Goig, the king of Magog, in the end of the world, know that Eretz Yisrael is the true metropolis of the world economy? How did you know this? This is a guarded secret. This is a heavily guarded secret that only exclusive people know. There's certain, like, you know, certain stocks, there are certain commodities that you don't want the Hamoyin Am to know about, because then if everyone buys in, it's going to cause the price to cause harm. So it's a well-guarded secret. So it seems over here, the way we're actually learning over here is that these nations, the Sheva, Dedan, Tarshish, V'chol Kifireha, they know the secret. They know that Eretz Yisrael is the secret economy of the world. And they have a monopoly, they have an in. Now when Goig is coming over here to attack, wow, how did you know the secret? It's classified. Who leaked it? Who's the leaker? WikiLeaks, how did you find the secret to come and attack this nation? We're shocked that you know about this. Okay, now we go to the Radak. Radak Pasuk Yud Gimel says, Shavu v'chol kifidecha melochecha v'solecha v'chein kefir goyim nidmesa. The metaphors for different nations. V'nikra kemal derech mashal, kamo shekfir arayitz melech al kol shachayas, v'chein tirgim yoynesan, v'chol malchoha all of her kings. All right, let's now go to Pasuk. Let's do another Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Dal. L'chein therefore Hashem now speaks up. Hashem says, L'chein therefore Yinovei ben Adam. Hashem says to Yechez, I'll give over the following message. V'yamartu l'goy k'yama Hashem l'kim. Ha'aloi b'yamahu b'sheve sami Yisrael l'vedach teda. On that day when my people live in a state of security, teda, you will know. Pasuk, what will you know? We'll see in a moment. You'll know that I am Hashem. That's what it means. We'll see in a moment. Pasuk tezvav l'vosa mimukoymcha. You will come from your place, referring to Goik. Miyarka says a lot of verbosity, a lot of repetition in these psukim. Tzafon from the north. Miyarka says Tzafon from the corner of the north. Ata yu mogoig v'amim rabim itach reichve susim kulam, all of riding horses, kahol gadol, a very large assembly, v'chayel rabim, a very large army. Pasuk tezayin v'elisa yu l'sen al ami Yisrael ke'onon, like a cloud l'chasay saretz. Now notice this is almost word for word like it said back, we learned on Friday was a shoah. Remember pasuk tes? And the Achas Hayam was back in Pasuk Zayin. He coined Yochain Lucha Atav Chol Kelecha, and he called him Olecha Vayisulahem. Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Ches. Miyamim Rabim Tipokay Beachris Hayashanim Tavoy Eleretz Moisheves Mecherv Nikubetes Miyam Rabim. So we had all this already. So obviously, this is what the Malam referred to when the Malam, the meaning of this section, said that there are two wars taking place here. The Malam told us the reason why there's repetition is because there are two different wars of Goig Umagoig. Two completely different stages, which we don't have no understanding what this means, but that's how the Malam understood the repetition. None of the other Mepharshim say this. Only the Malam says it's two separate wars, and not to forget about the war that's mentioned in Sefer Zechariah. That's the third war. But any events over here, Hashem says, when we're talking about Pasuk, Tezayin, Tezayin, Velitza, Al Am Yisrael, Ken, like a cloud, Lechasis, Aretz, Bachris, Yahim, the end of days. Now notice here, it does not say Acharis Shonim. We had before Acharis Shonim. Mm-hmm. In this war, it's described as the Acharis Hayomim. Tiye, Vahavisicha, I will bring you Al Aretz on my land, Leman Das Hagoyim, Osi. The world should know me, because when I become sanctified through you, le'enehem goig, you goig will be the instrument which will be, I will use it to sanctify myself. The whole world will be watching, and they will see the greatness of Hashem, and it's going to come through you goig. Because you're going to do something very foolish, and there's going to be war, and Hashem's going to use you as this object to bring about the honor of Hashem. Let's see these few psukim inside Pasuk Yudalit through Pasuk Tezayin. First in the Mitzudos, Pasuk Yudalit says, "Lochem therefore, hoyel lochem yah." So it will be. Tinave teida return loyma yah yadul v'nigla l'lucha she you'll be known to you she yoshvim levetach. The einam nishmarim ne'oyev. The Jewish people are not going to protect themselves from the enemy. Pasuk, like we said before, Ke'anan, you guys will come and send upon them like a cloud. Return to Lemar, Barabas Am, Ke'anan, Habal, Lechasas, Aretz, Tiyek, Kadav, Arzeh, Uvav, Sicha, Return to Lemar, Ongir, Libcha, I will awaken your heart to ascend to Yerushalayim, Lavoy, Al-Artsi, Laman, Yedu, Oisi, Agoyim, V'yakiru, Bi, V'eisaye, Mekudosh, Lenehem, Al-Yotcha, Ato, Goig, to you, Goig, Ki, when Hashem executes judgment, then Hashem's name is sanctified. Rashi, Pasuk Yudalid, Teda. What's the Teda? What does it mean, Teda? Tegim Yonason, Tida Pur Onus Givurasi. You will see the punishment that comes from my power. Kalaimar, Teda. Okay, this means to say that when you come there, you will see the might and the security of the Jewish people. You're wondering, Rashi is going l'shitasai. Rashi, we learned before, says the reason why Gog and Magog, they're very curious. Why do the Jewish people have a sense of security when they don't have any form of defense? They don't have walls, they don't have bars, they don't have doors, they live in open cities, and they're not afraid. How could that possibly be? Where are you living? You're living, how could it possibly be such a thing? This was what aroused the curiosity of Goig, the king of Magog. And Hashem says, when you come to wage war and you think it's going to be child's play to go and take all of their property because it's in an unwalled city, you're going to see what's going to happen to you. And then you're going to understand finally why indeed they are so secure, because they have Hashem is on their side. You know, it's like it says in the pasuk, that's the last six parasha, Aliyah l'regel, velo, you're not going to be afraid to be oyel l'regel, that the goyim, I don't know the pasuk by heart, I'm going to ask you, tell us the pasuk by heart in one moment, that you're not going to be afraid when you oil the regal that the goyim will steal your property. When you oil the regal, there was a concern. People, I can't just be oil the regal. Someone might come along and steal my property. I'm going to leave my land empty. Hashem says, don't worry. You do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. And as far as your assets, don't worry. I will be the security guard. I will be there, and I'll protect everything for you. In fact, some talk we learned this last week. If you do not own property, you're potter from Aliyah L'Regel. Part of the mitzvah,
the Aliyah... says about how much do you have to own a square foot?
Small amount. But it's a pella. It's a wondrous thing. Now, part of the mitzvah, Aliyah L'Regel, yes, the average person, what's the mitzvah? Oh, you come to the Beit HaMikdash, the sanctity, the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you bring a korban, right? Isn't that what the average person would say? It's much, much more than that. It's to show, forget about the spiritual experience, it's to show I have faith in Hashem. I can abandon all of my property, no one is watching, no security cameras, no alarm system, no guards. Hashem, I have faith in you. You will guard my property, and I can go to Eretz Yisrael. Isn't that amazing? That's another whole dimension of Aliyah L'Regel. And if a person does not have property, so you can't fulfill that aspect of Aliyah L'Regel, you potter. Don't bother going. You rent an apartment. You have nothing to worry about. Is anyone? What do I care? If someone goes and destroys the apartment, big deal. I paid my rent this month, so next month I don't have to pay rent because there's no apartment. So what do I care? What do I care if someone destroys the apartment? It's anyway not my apartment. Anyway not my property. Oh, so you're not going to have to go experience emunah when you're oil the regel? So you know what? Don't bother going. That's how important that dimension of Aliyah L'Regel is. So it's exactly what's happening over here in this puzzle over here. They're coming over here, they're rational over here, they're coming over here, they're already destroyed. The people over here, they're not afraid. They're not afraid that they're going to be destroyed and ransacked and obliterated because there's no defense system. How could that possibly be? It's because Klal Yisrael have emuna, pshuta, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he will be their protection. That's what Rashi says. Next words of Rashi, that's no more Rashi. Radak, second pasuk Gedalid. Therefore, you will know. You will know. Kasher teida shem yoshim be'artzim levetach tova mimkayim chav yonos and tekim teida tida pur anus kivrosi within the Rashi b'vasim v'ruhut zal understood. Tezayin v'elitzal ineim going loshen kriyat or going go you now going you going to ascend upon Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there are some midrashim here, but they're not really relevant for us. So let's really just maybe do another two psukim before we wind down. Pasuk Yitzayin koyam Hashem. So says Koyim Hashem Elokim Hato. Now here, okay, here is a view. Okay, this is some nice stuff. Okay, this here over here, we have a lot of nice. Let's just start for one moment. Goyg now is coming to Yerushalayim, and Hashem says, "Ah, you're now Goyg." In other words, no one knows who Goyg is. That's the big mystery. Who is Goyg? Who is it? South Korea? Is it North Korea? Is it Mexico? Is it Australia? Is it ISIS? Is it Hezbollah? Who is Goyg? Mi hu zeh? Who is Goyg? Will Goyg go and reveal yourself? No one knows. No one knows who is that. Goyg is the name of the king. Okay, Goyg is the name of the king. Magoyg is the nation. It's a big mystery.
Rabbi Benel makes the point of saying, how do we know that? Because the Chumash doesn't mention Gog ever. It mentions Magog. Gomer or Magog.
So who is Gog is the king?
If Gog was any nation of note, it would have said it in Bereishis.
No, but Gog is the king, Pashtus. Gog is the king of Magog.
Right, that's what he said. It has to be, because it would have said it otherwise.
So this Pasuk over here is very, very fast. The Pasuk over here says is that when this event happens, even Hashem will say, how can you say such a thing, right? It's almost like a cursus. Even Hashem will say, ah, so you're Goyg. It's like one of these mysteries. Who done it? Like one of these novels, these mysteries. Who is the ganav? Who is the murderer? All the cast of characters. What's it called? Is it a certain game? What's it called?
Clue.
Exactly. Clue, right? Clue. I used to love that game. Clue. Who is the Rotzeach? Who is the murderer? Who is he? Ah, you're the Rotzeach. You're it? Exactly what I says. Koyem Hashem, so says Hashem. Ha'atahu? Is it you? You, this person, you're going and your nation is more going. Hashem says, even I would never have expected this to be you to be the one. Isn't that amazing?
Is that possible?
How exactly? I don't know how it's possible, but that's what it says. Ha'atol hu asher dibarti. Is it really? That's you're the one that I spoke about by biyomim kadmonim in the earliest days. Biyad avodai, my servants, the Nevi'ei Yisrael, who are who, which is either Yechezkel, Yeshaya, Zechariah, or Eldad Umedad, Hanibim, who prophesied by Yomim Ohem, Shonim. And what does it mean, Shonim? It means years ago. Or, as Rashi is going to say, it means Shenayim. Don't read Shonim, but read it Shenayim, which means two. Who's the two? Eldad Umedad, back in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Lohavi, that to bring, they prophesized that Lohavi Oischa, that you will come Alehem. Shocking pasuk. Hashem himself is in shock. Wow, I never imagined that you would be the one who's called Goik. And if Hashem is in shock, Al Achas Kama Vekama will be in shock. So we think today we know the world in the back of our hand. Right? Who are the major players? It's going to be Syria, Iran, Iraq. It's going to be North Korea. It's going to be China, right? China. It's going to be Russia. Okay? Venezuela. I don't think they don't have much going on over there anymore. But like, who? Me? Who's that? It's no one we would ever, ever imagine.
Right. Does anyone explain it as being derisive of you think you're such a big?
Let's see with Mepharshim. Let's see. Maybe I'm going to read in between the lines. You know, you read. When I prepare very superficially. First time I really dwell upon this is when I read it with you. So then it comes out a little bit more. Let's see. Let's see your sign. Where's that pasuk?
In Kisisa.
Kisisa. Back in Kisisa. Very good. Yeshakayach. I knew I could rely upon you. What would we do without you? We'll be in trouble. Let's see. Pasuk Yitzayin in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos pasuk ha'atohu. Hinei. Atohu asher dibarti. So Mitzudos is not so dramatic like me. He just says, oh, this is a matter of fact.
It sounds like just okay. The opposite. It sounds like a declaration. Hinei atohu.
But hey. That's the hey ha idea. How you do it? Hey idea. Let's see the mafarshim. Hinei ata. Even mitzudah is not necessary. He says hinei. Behold, Rashi. Right. Even according to the word hinei is also is of shock. Hinei. Right. Hashem is saying, behold. Wow. Hinei. Behold. Ata hu asher dibarti olecha bayamim kadmanim biad avodai neviyeh. Look what he says over here. The mitzudos al vial yeshaya. This the first time in goy gumagoy. In this section, this parak of the Apostle Yitzayin, that Yeshaya's name is mentioned anywhere. No one said the word Yeshaya, the name Yeshaya, until everyone said Yecheskel. They already said Zechariah a few times, and we said Elul Medad. No one said Yeshaya. Here is the first time Yeshaya appears in one of the Mepharshim to mean that he's also predictable about this going to happen. V'Yecheskel Zechariah Yoimar Shanim Ritzon Lema Zesh Shanim Rabos Many Years Ki Bevo Yavor Zman Miyat Mimei Anavim Mahayim. It's many years since the prediction. Let's see Rashi very quickly. Rashi Pasig Yitzayin says, Ha'atohu, Be'oiz Nayom, those days, Yom HaKadosh, in those days, Hashem will make the following statement. Ha'atohu, also, is it really you, Asher Dibarti, Bayam Kadmonim, Yad Avodai, Nevi'i Yisrael, Kivon Yechezkel, Zechariah, notice there's no Yeshaya, Shiafu Nisnabei, Zechariah also prophesies concerning this time, Al-Milchamoy Skoy Gumarug V'yosafti, where he tells where? He tells Jesus, how you dal V'yosafti, as the Kola Goyim, V'rabbasin Wamru, El-Dodu Medod. Okay, they're the ones who already predict this, him, Snabu Olav, Zeu Shonim, what's the word Shonim? Hamrukan, Al-Tikwe Shonim, years, Ela Shinayim, Shnei Nevi'im, Nisnabu Nivuachas, Beperek Echad, Av, look, I have in my brackets, Avoloi, Besignoi Nechad. Even though they prophesize one event, but everyone has a different twist. Everyone has a different perspective. Okay, that's it for Rashi, Radak.
Interesting what he says about that parenthesis here.
Yeah.
Notice, it is unlikely that the comment in parenthesis is Rashi's, because it does not appear in the Talmudic passage quoted and is not relevant to the point being made.
Okay. So why did someone add this? Why was it added then? Obviously, there's something more going on behind it. Let's finish up. It's very late. Pasuk Yizayin, Radak, Koyamar Biyad Avodai Hanavim Yecheskel Zechariah. Again, notice no Yeshaya. V'yafli shazachayo lo yamar goy gomog. He never said the name of Gomogog. Parashu, we already seen a yom bo. We already discussed this, that refers to Zachayo Gomogog al Muhammad Zub Nemra. Bayanuim shenoyim, he says in his Rashi, kilu amar zesh shonim rabois, many years long ago. V'yodas interrogame milikadmas dena shenin sagin, same thing. Uvidiver was saying zal eldoru medad misnabim b'machne al iskei gomogog hayu misnabim shnemar ahata hu al tikrei shonim ella shenayim. Heim Shnayim Nivim Elush and Esnabu Nuachas. They already prophesized this major event. Okay. So that's pretty much it for now. Yitzchem, tomorrow we'll pick up Pasuk Yud Ches. Take a short break. I have here two handouts. The handouts are not too great. My computer is on strike. So until I get my computer fixed, I have to give you different handouts.
We're going to tell them. We're going to tell them.